Morning, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, you guys. This is another good day that the Lord has made, right? Let me see if I can get my seat up some here so we can light that light out. Okay, let me get some things adjusted here. Well, today is another good day. We already know this, right? We already know this, that today is another good day, right? I don't know about you, but I am going to rejoice and be glad that I am alive, living in it. How about you? All righty, you guys, make sure you tune into my podcast. I made a podcast this morning. It's called Fake or Fiction. How do we know when the fruit is real? Okay, I shared it on my Facebook page. So if you guys get a chance, just pop in and listen. All righty. We're Rhema reading Mark chapter 5. Okay. Let's get it going. NLT version. Father, we just thank you for being in the midst of us, for being amongst us, Lord God. You said where two or three are joined together, there you are right there in the midst of us, Lord God. So we come together to sup, to fellowship, to worship you, to lift up your name. Father, we come hungering and thirsting after righteousness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just inviting some people in. I guess, I don't know if I already did it once or not. I'm still trying to figure this thing out sometimes. But, Father, we thank you that your word, that it will not return unto you void. It will not return unto you void. Thank you, Lord. As we hunger and thirst, Lord, we ask that you fill us, feed us, fresh manner, give us a daily word. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I lost my whole entire screen. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We adore you. We magnify you. You guys forsake not the assembling of yourselves. I pray you guys find you a good, good teaching church where you can fellowship and get connected, right? Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're getting ready to start. I was just inviting some people in. Okay. Good morning, my beautiful Dorothy and my beautiful Letha. Good morning. We're getting ready to start. Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive your engrafted Rhema word. Father, we're Rhema reading Mark chapter 5 NLT. It says, so this is talking about Jesus healed a demon-possessed man. Good morning, beautiful Vanessa. We talked about it yesterday about demon-possessed, how when a person is demon-possessed, it has complete control over their spirit, their soul, and their body, right? And so here we're starting off with Mark 5, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man. New Living Translation, verse 1. It says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of a boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit. This man was possessed, okay? This means the spirit had complete control over his spirit, his mind, his spirit, soul, and body, right? So a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tomb to meet him. It says this demon-possessed man came out to meet Jesus. Verse 3, he said this man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain because demons make you strong. If you ever seen a person demon-possessed, they are very strong. I've seen demon-possessed people, and they're very strong. They growl through people. They slither. They're very strong. It says, whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. It says, day and night he wandered amongst, good morning, Gloria. Day and night he wandered among the burial graves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. This is what it looks like to be demon possessed. This man has no control over his behavior. We're reading, Rhema reading Mark 5, Gloria. Mark 5, chapter 1 through 5. It's talking about when Jesus met a demon-possessed man. This is what demon possession looks like. They growl, they slobber, they slither, they do all kinds of stuff. And demons are still present today. Okay. Verse 6. When Jesus was still come di some distance away, the man saw him. When he was afar off, the man saw him. He ran to meet him and bowed low before him with a shriek. He screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" This is what the demon said to the man. "In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus has already said to the spirit, 'Come out of the man, you evil spirit.'" One translation says, "Why have you come to Jesus? Why have you come to what is the translation? Why have you come?" The demon screamed, "Why did you come to torture us or torment us? Why have you come to torment us?" Because you know what? I talk about this quite often. You know, the spirit of the living God that's on the inside of us, demons can see the spirit of the living God on the inside of us. So sometimes people not liking you, we just take it too personal. Take it too personal. When people sometimes don't, they hate you without a cause. They don't like you. They don't know why they don't like you. It's not you. It's the God that's inside of you. And it's because of the devils that's operating in them that hates the God that they see inside of you. I'm telling you, it's absolutely nothing personal. They can't even tell you why they don't like you. But here, this man was demon possessed. Jesus told that demon, verse 8, he said, "For Jesus had already said to the spirit," he said, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." He said, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" Demons are subject to the name of Jesus. Demons are still subject to the name of Jesus. And we're going to see more manifestations of this demonic activity, because the one thing about a sheep, he can only hide in wolf clothes for so long before the demon is going to begin to fully manifest. He's been hiding and creeping and operating behind the scenes, instigating a lot of things. But the closer you get to God, the greater the relationship is with the Lord, the greater the anointing that rests upon your life. The devil is supposed to hate us. He's our adversary. Peter tells us to be sober and to be alert, because our adversary, the devil, he said that devil is our adversary. He's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. The devil is looking for someone. He's on the prowl. He's instigating. He's up to no good, trying to see who he can destroy. He's trying to find someone to devour, someone who's asleep spiritually, someone who's not discerning, someone who's not alert, right? Someone who's not paying attention spiritually, discerning the times, discerning the seasons, discerning the atmosphere. Is it demonic? What's going on here around me? Something is kind of off. Lord, let me know what it is. And he replied, "My name is Legions, because there are many of us inside this man." Demons are subject to the name of Jesus. Anything that God created, he can command. So let us remember that. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. And he said, they that believe in my name, we too, as born again believers, we can cast out devils, right? We can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, because it's not our hands, it's the spirit of the Lord, living God, on the inside of us. Because the same power, I'm just trying to sit this, you know, let this marinate for a minute, that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, meaning that the spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you, and it lives on the inside of me. We got that? We're not alone. It's not possible to be alone. It doesn't matter how lonely we feel. I want you to know your emotions are lying to you. Though you may be physically alone, really, you're spiritually speaking, you're not alone. God is everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. His spirit is not just with us. God is not just for us, but the spirit of the living God is on the inside of us. I want you guys to meditate on that. Just go today. Just if you don't remember anything else, I want to exhort you, encourage you, and remind you that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is on the inside of me. Can somebody say that? The Spirit of God is on the inside of me. My body is the temple. It's the place where the Holy Spirit resides. And this is why we say, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. That's what that means. It means that the spirit of the living God that's on the inside of me is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist that's on the outside of me, that's coming against the God that's on the inside of me. So fear not, do not be afraid. God is not just with you. God is not just for you, but the spirit of the living God is on the inside of you. He's verse 11, it says, there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on this hillside. Let me go back to this one. Verse 9, then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, he's talking to the demons. He said, my name is Legions, because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. So listen, when demons are present, it's not just one. I remember the day the Lord said, probably demons have personalities, right? Demons have personalities. This is why I say, if you have a family member that's been addicted to drugs and you connect with someone else that had a family member that connected to drugs, you're going to be able to tell some of the same stories, tell some of the same lies, because it was the same demon. And then you have your familiar spirits that's familiar with your behavior, spirits that's familiar with your family. So demons have personalities, and there's always usually more than one that's in the house. Okay. And he's manifesting. How does demons manifest? Through the works of our flesh. Galatians 5:19-20 talks about the works, and these are the works of the flesh. When you get time, go there. The devil manifests himself. He expressed himself through the works of our flesh. When we yield our members to him, if we want to be angry, we want to yield our members to anger, we can allow the devil to use our vocal cords and our behaviors to act ugly, right? But the word of the Lord said, if we walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we walk in the love of God, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? That means that when we walk in the love of God, we won't do what our flesh wants to do, because love is opposite to everything our flesh wants, because in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, nothing. Okay. Verse 11, he said, there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirit begged them. Let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pig, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. Verse 15, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw that the man who had been possessed by legions of demons, he was sitting there clothes. He was sitting there. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. And some of this stuff that we call in mental health is really demon possession. Here this man was sitting there in his right mind. That's why I thank the Lord for a sound mind, because I know some people who've lost their natural born mind. I thank God for having a sound mind. I thank God for having peace in my mind. How many of you know that peace is not a place? Peace is a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jehovah Shalom. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You're looking for peace here. You're looking for peace there. You're looking for peace everywhere. But peace is not a place. Peace is a person. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he said, you know what? In this world, we're going to have some trouble. We're going to have some tribulations. But those who keep their minds stayed on me, he said, I'll keep you at perfect peace when you keep your mind stayed on me. For the peace that I give you is not like the world's peace, right? God, the peace that comes from God is the peace that passes all natural understanding. It's still, it's quiet. It's like when he said he leads you by, he'll lead us into green pastures and by the still waters. Peace. I don't know if some of you remember, like when the TV channel used to go off and it had that staggering sound, or it might just, it's just like a blank screen. You know what a blank screen, when your TV is off and there's nothing going on? That's the peace. I'm telling you, I've experienced the peace. I've experienced the peace of God. And guess what? When the storms of life come into your life, the peace of God would gird you. It will keep you calm inside. You might be thinking, well, shouldn't I be worried about this? But you don't feel worried. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. You don't feel worried because the peace on the inside is still and is quiet. And that's the peace that comes from God. And this is not a place, because see, you can have chaos all around you, but you can still have the peace of God on the inside of you. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about, because I've tasted and I've seen for myself that the word of the Lord is real, that is true, that is powerful, that is alive, is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for peace, it's not in a person. It's not, well, when all my circumstances get good, I can have some peace. If they just stop acting like that, I can have some peace. No, Jesus Christ can give you peace in the midst of your crisis, in the midst of the storm. He's still saying peace. I said peace. Be still. Peace, be still in Jesus' name. 16, it says, then those who had seen what happened, they went and told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And somebody, this is why we need to tell our story so God can get the glory, because this man was demon-possessed and those people saw what had happened, and then they started running around and they started testifying, telling people what had happened. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Lord have mercy. They told Jesus, go away. This man was sitting here clothed in his right mind. And they told Jesus to go away. Verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been to you. Do you know anyone that's out of their mind? Well, I want you to know that the power of God is present. The power of God. Greater is he that's within you than that demon that's trying to take control over their mind. I had a loved one that had some problems with their mind, and I just used the word and say, I thank you, Father God, that their memory is blessed, because they had a stroke. I say, Lord, I thank you that their memory, and it affected their short-term memory. I said, Lord, I declare and I decree her that their memory is blessed in the name of Jesus, because he created the mind and he can restore the mind, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So here he said, no, you need to go home. You need to, I'm commissioning you. I'm calling you to go and evangelize. You need to, because they didn't want Jesus to stay there. But you know, sometimes what better witness than an eyewitness? Like, you telling me what you read, but I'm telling you what I've seen. Thank you, Lord. This man is saying, listen, you guys know me. I was demon possessed. I was on drugs. I was on prostitute. I was doing this and I was doing that, but I was once lost, but now I'm found. Now look at me. The Lord said, no, stay here. Go home to your family. Because your family knew who you was and how you was before Christ delivered you and set you free. What better witness than an eyewitness? These people are going to see firsthand that the Lord is who he say he is. This man is clothed in his right mind. You have anyone with mental health illnesses? This man was clothed in his right mind. God created the mind. He created the body. He created it. Everything is subject to the name of Jesus. Verse 20. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region, and he began to proclaim, he began to testify. He was evangelizing. This is why we need to tell our story so God can get the glory. He said he began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he had told them. See, they told Jesus to go, but Jesus said, no, you need to stay because you need to go and tell. They believed him because they knew who he was. They knew how he was. His life was a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure you keep telling your story. We overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of our blood of the Lamb. Because see, every time we testify, we make the devil out to be a lie. So keep telling your story so God can get the glory. So those who don't believe can see and believe. Because some people ain't gonna believe unless they see. So verse 21. Jesus heals in response to faith. Mark 5:21. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Good morning, beautiful Tracy. Then a leader of the local synagogues whose name was Jairus arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Pleading fervently with him. He said, my little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. He said, anybody got somebody sick on a bed of affliction? He said, anybody got any family members that's sick? Well, faith cometh by hearing. This is not just a good story. This really happened. And it's still, he still is a healer. The same, the power of God is still present to heal, deliver, and set free. Mark 5:24. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. She had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. She went here, she went there, and she spent all her money and she still hadn't gotten any better. He said, in fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, because we know that faith cometh by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. Somewhere she heard about Jesus. And so faith came. Faith came when she heard about Jesus. This is why it's so important for us to talk about him, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. And so she heard about him. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, she was thinking within herself. She was just thinking, if I could just touch his robe, she said, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body, thank you, Lord, that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Thank you, Lord. Jesus realized that once, I'm almost finished here, you guys. Jesus realized that once the healing power had gone from his body. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Thank you, Lord. His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? Because see, when she touched him in faith and virtue left his body. He felt the power being released. And when we touch the Lord in faith, when we touch him, because without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? But we must first believe that he does exist and that he is a rewarder. God rewards us for believing in him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So here she was diligently seeking him. She already had faith to believe in him. And here she is diligently seeking him because she wasn't really supposed to be in public. She was considered unclean because of her issue of blood. But she didn't care about any of that. She had faith in him and she was diligently seeking him. And so he rewarded her. Her faith rewarded her. 32, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightening woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, this is what he said. He said, daughter, he said, your faith. Good morning, Danetta. He said, your faith has made you well. We're Rhema reading Mark 5. He says, in New Living Translation, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. He said, your faith. He said it was her faith. He said it was her faith. He's saying it's your faith that's going to make you well. He said it's your faith. It's having faith in Jesus Christ. She had faith that if she, what was her faith? She was believing. Her confession of faith is if I could just touch him, because she had heard about him, because faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. You heard the word of God. She heard about him. And she's like, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch the clothes on his body, just the hem of, and it was, she touched him in faith. She touched him in faith. She was believing in faith that God would do that. It would happen to her too if she just believed. What happened to them would happen to her. Do you believe that what happened to them can happen to you? Do you believe that what happened to them can happen to you? Because God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. This is not just a good story book. This is for our edification. It's for our example. And so we too can know that what he did for them, he's still doing it. He's still doing it. Jesus Christ is a healer. Right? He is still doing it. Healing is still for today. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. He said, go in peace. Your suffering is over. That's a word for somebody right there. I don't know who it is. He said, but your faith has made you well. He said, your faith, because some of you might not be physically sick. Some of you might be spiritually sick. Some of you might just be in pain on the inside. But the word of the Lord says he's near to those with a broken and a contrite spirit. He said, your faith, because see, when we cry out to the Lord, he says, I'm a present help in time of trouble, and God is near to those with a broken and a contrite spirit. And some of you have been weeping for the night, but the Lord has promised. He said, joy cometh in the morning, and his day is not our 24-hour day, because he's not in time, he's outside of time. He says your suffering is over. I don't know who's been suffering. Somebody might have been suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Well, if you receive the word of the Lord, he said, your suffering is over. Because after you have suffered for just a little while, the God himself will restore you. He will establish you and he will confirm you, right? He will establish you after you've suffered for just a little while, just a little while. Mark 5:35, he said, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. He said, there's no use troubling the teacher now. I mean, she's dead. I mean, there's no, you know, she's already deceased. There's no need, because they didn't know who he was. They didn't. Do you guys know that the same resurrection power lives on the inside of us? There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. He said, don't be afraid. I don't need you to be afraid. I just need you to have faith. I don't need you to be afraid. I need you to have faith. I don't need you to be afraid. I just need you to have faith. I don't need you to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Mark 5:36. Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. 37, then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him. except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Sometimes you got to put the doubters out, right? Can't just take everybody in. You can't just tell everybody your business. You can't give your prayer request to everybody, right? You want to make sure they got faith to believe. 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing, right? Because she was dead. He went inside and that. Hi guys, this is Arthur Pearly Martin. Remember to pick up all my books online at Arthur Pearly Martin, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, under Pearly Martin Books. You guys, remember to like this, to subscribe to this podcast, help support this podcast, hit that subscribe button. And you guys make sure that you share the link. But more than anything, you guys stroll through here. I have over 200 some episodes. Stroll through here and see if God has a word for you. Again, this is Arthur Pearly Martin with Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. You guys be blessed. And like I always say, keep looking for what's good in your day so you can see God's goodness all throughout your day.